from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome to Postcard from Potbread on a glorious sunny day with lots of hassles going on in my life. Thank God it's not smelly vision. Hi, I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains. Over in the UK, we've got Lee Banks. Down in Darwin, we've got Rachel Brunston. And we're going to say hi to them in our usual way, which is, what's the dirge like in England, Lee?
The dirge?
Hmm.
It's actually, I'll tell you, really, the truth is, dead simple. It really hasn't stopped raining. It's almost reached biblical proportions. Proportions. I'm just picked up a penguin. It just won't stop raining. It's rained for days and days and days and weeks. And quite honestly, it really is becoming a dangerous situation where Britain is becoming flooded. It's like Atlantis. We're going to disappear.
Oh, heck.
Oh, no. Well, at least I live on top of a mountain, though. I'll be the king of England.
I live at the bottom of a mountain covered in snows. What's Darwin like, Rach?
Wet. We are suffering. Well, it's our wet season, and we are suffering currently a monsoonal low.
Oh, dear.
And it's been pouring, bucketing rain. We got 600 mil for the month of January.
Flippy neck.
At the airport alone.
Flippy
neck. Yes, it's really, really, really wet. Everybody's carrying on about this Category 1 cyclone that hit Queensland,
yeah,
which was barely a zephyr. Barely.
Gosh. Anyway.
It went underwater.
Right. Anyway, this is your alternative sideways look at the news, boys and girls. But we do try and do some good stuff on this particular programme as well, which we seem to do now and again. I've got to say hi to the guys over in Talk Radio Land and on Breeze and Replay and just about everywhere else we are. Kiss, of course, as well. We like Kiss. Hi, Barry. And if you do need any follow-up to this, please get in touch with your station and they'll put messages in touch with us, or you can go onto Facebook, look for the page just called Radio, and you can post questions there. The first thing we've got to tell you about is a brand new form of online scam. It's not new because it's been done before in the old print days.
Absolutely.
But someone's brought it into 2014. And what happened was, a young lady who's a listener of ours, hello, who doesn't speak terribly good English, and I won't mention her because obviously this other person, idiot, moron, numpty, could probably hear us, got this in, was trying to sell some goods on a Slovak version of kind of like eBay. So this person wrote and said, I'd like that. They didn't negotiate, didn't haggle, nothing. They were very polite, just asked polite questions and, you know, got the dialogue going. Anyways, the agreed price was agreed straight away. And they even offered to do the shipping costs as well. So I thought,
really?
Well, this is very good. So everything was nice until it came to payment. And this scam person sent over a supposed document which was allegedly from the Ulster Bank. And they nicked a picture off of the internet of the boss of the Ulster Bank and put a mobile phone number on there and made it look all kind of relatively kosher, especially if your first language is not English. So the sense,
just interrupt for a second. Why the Ulster Bank? Why would they choose the Ulster Bank?
I don't know. I honestly don't. Well, I know why now, because I can reveal the rest of the story in a moment.
I'm sorry for interrupting that.
No, not at all. That was a good question, Lee. I agree
it
with
was.
You.
I was just worried if there was a connection between Slovakia and Ulster. Or
well, there
like
is
that.
There is a large community of Slovaks, but these people were pretending to be English. So
I see.
Nothing there. Right. So anyway, we move on. So anyway, a sensible young lady came to the office and said, is this real or is it... Well, she used a couple of words which are abbreviated to BS. So I said, I don't know. Let's have a look. So I looked at it and I went, it doesn't look like a bank document I've ever seen before in my life. And then it had got an email address on there, support@ulsterdept.com, which I suppose is supposed to look like ulsterdepartment.com. So I thought, no, Ulster Bank wouldn't have an email like that. Doesn't make sense. No. So then I used...
Nudge.com.
No. So I used then a little bit of Eric Tools and went on the interweb, and I researched this UlsterDepartment.com to find it had been registered in January 2014.
Wow.
That's
a really brand new bank.
Yes. It had also been registered in California, America.
Okay.
This gets stranger and stranger, doesn't it?
So
it's
what...
not something we've not experienced before, is it?
No. So hardly, I think, an Irish bank.
No.
To which I then phones the Irish bank in Dublin and said, have you got one of these? No, was the answer. Oh, thank you very much. Why is that then? Because of this. Shall I send it to you? Oh, yes, please. So I've sent this stuff over to the Ulster Bank, so they've got it on file. And if it is that you receive what they claim is a tracking payment scheme whereby they have paid money to a bank on kind of like deposit, whereby you then get the shipping document goods for the parcel that you're sending, allegedly fill it in, then allegedly they will send you the money. Well, of course, you've already sent the goods. You can't get them back. They're gone.
That's right.
Of course.
Right. So I think to myself, okay, what do we do next? So I played along with this scammer, and I even got please, I've lost my money. It's in the bank. Send me the goods. So, really?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, really good. So then I thought...
I believe you. Why not?
Yeah, and I thought to myself, no, hang on a minute. I've got a better idea. Let me phone the Metropolitan Police in London, which I did. And I spoke to this very nice sergeant there and said, blah, 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 this is what's going on. I've got an address. And he said, oh, good. Thank you. Give us the address. So I gave him the address, and he said, well... He said, I can tell you this, Mr. Wiltshire, because he called me Mr. Wiltshire. He's very polite, unlikely.
That's because it's your name.
And he said...
Yeah, that's...
He could have called you Norman.
Thank you. he says, that house is unoccupied. Do what? So I said, how do they get away with that? And he said, well, it's an old scam from years ago. And what you've just described is exactly the same thing, where the courier comes around the corner... they see the courier van turn up. They run out with some legitimate, forged documentation to prove who they are. They take your goods. You never see your money. They hock your goods. You can never trace them. They've made a lot of money.
Well, it's a really old scam, like you say, bought into the cyber age.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you get a document from somebody saying, when you ship the goods to me, I'll pay you, forget about it.
Yeah.
Never ever do any transaction on any kind unless you're using PayPal.
Well, no, I wouldn't say PayPal, but what I would say is one stage... One stage further. When the money is in your bank and it has cleared, which can often take 24 hours after it is your bank, so when you can draw the cash out of the bank, then you send the goods. If they don't want to pay for the goods, it's like rather like a shop. Excuse me, Mr. Shopkeeper, I'll take them home. When I get home, I'll send you the money. Not the way it works, Mr. Scammer.
Exactly.
So if you see emails coming in with the suggestion of support at ulsterdepartment.com from the Ulster Bank, call your local police, tell them about it, tell them you've heard about it here, tell them the Met Police know about it. Tell them the Ulster Bank know about it. And just say, I don't like scammers, goodbye. And that's all you do. Ignore it.
I'm really glad this, even if English is her second language, I'm glad she had the common sense to ask you about this, because a lot of people wouldn't have had the common sense to question that. They just would have gone ahead and done it.
I know. It's really bad. So anywhere in the world, I can tell you, support that UlsterDepartment.com is registered in California. It was registered in January 2014. It ain't the Ulster Bank. And also, when you try to phone the mobile phone number, it don't work. Funny that.
Funny that.
I have an addendum. to that story, which is quite interesting. And it's something that hopefully we'll be able to reveal in its fullest extent next week. But suffice to say that while Eric's been looking into this, I've been looking into a different kind of scam, which involves people using the logos and the copyrighted emblems.
Trademarks,
etc., or any form of that kind of thing, to perpetuate their own business, basically claiming it to say that they are backed by these companies, like Google, like all the major companies. We've discovered that this company, which we're not going to name until next week, have been doing this and misleading thousands upon thousands and thousands of people in the UK and taking upwards of £100 each off them with false endorsements. The other interesting aspect to this, which is something that is even more, is that in the UK we have something called trading standards. Which is a government body set up to help people who have problems with a company like this. And trading standards in the area that this company is operating in are refusing to talk, A, to me as a member of the press, and B, to the person who's actually reported this company to them. They say they won't discuss it with them. Well, how is she going to know what is happening and whether whether she's actually going to get her money back and be able to take this company to court? This is a scandal. Absolute scandal.
Well, as we always say, Lee, we will give you, the listener at home, the big voice to take on the nasty people.
And we it's a big voice, isn't it? Our voice is massive.
It's huge. Well, no, it's enormous.
It's getting smaller now.
Is it? Why?
Well, I've lost a few kilos.
How's that going? How's the shed, the great shed of 2014? How's
he
that going?
Say that. Rachel, don't be so rude. He wasn't 2014 kilo.
I now regrettably confess to the world that just after Christmas I weighed in at 130.2 kilos.
How much is that in the weight?
Well, it's 2.2 kilos to a pound.
So that means you weighed 50 pounds, 60 pounds.
Eh?
No, you've gone the wrong way. You've divided.
You've divided, yeah. You have to go to the way.
What? How many pounds did you weigh then?
It'd be 130, 206, about 280 pounds.
You're joking!
No, which would have been in, I can't do it. How many 16s is there in that lot? Quite a lot.
What do you weigh?
23 stone!
Nearly.
You big boy.
But now I have trimmed down, and as of this very morning, I gets on the scales, which didn't groan as they used to, and it said 120.9.
Oh, yay!
Yes!
Well,
10 kilos less.
265 pounds.
That's even, you put weight on then.
Sometimes one worries. but what's who's got a calculator? I haven't. I've got my mobile.
It's right in front of me.
My calculator's making the breakfast at the moment.
Oh, good. So that's 120 times 2.2.
Yeah, that's 240.
Divided by 16.
So that's
16.5.
Who?
16.5.
That's what I weigh now.
You've lost 16.5
stone.
Yeah.
You've lost 8 stone in a week.
No, silly.
Well, that's what you've just said. If you weighed 23 stone before, and now you're down to 16 and a half, that means
I don't think you got that right. I've lost 10 kilos in a month.
Yeah, that's good.
That's not bad.
That's
a good healthy rate at which to lose weight.
Yeah, you don't want to lose too fast. But the interesting thing is, I now haven't got to go and buy new jeans because my old ones that didn't fit me now fit me again.
Yay!
Which is kind of good. Righty-ho. And we can do it without a reality show as well. anyway, we move on to more news. Sadly, we saw the loss of Pete Seeger this week, who died at the age of 92. Definitely one of the, shall we say, left-wing rebels.
Oh, blinking heck.
If you start, you're going to be in so much trouble, Mr. Banks.
He was not a left-wing rebel. I admired Pete Seeger. Do not get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen. I admired Pete Seeger, but he was far from a left-wing rebel.
He was a very political animal, actually.
He was a middle-class, crass, funky hero who flew in the face of everything that was growing into something important and world-changing in the 1960s. This is the man who he was the acceptable face of Jack Kerouac and Allen Ginsberg. He was a middle-class, oiky, squeaky, little, clean person who actually tried to ban... He tried to get the Paul Butterfield Blues Band banned from the Newport Folk Festival.
We can't put this on our friendly Australian group, you know.
Why? No.
Because they're all talking about offshore radio stations on there, and Pete Seeger's song, We Shall Overcome, was used by the famous Johnny Walker as Radio Caroline. First time round, defied the British government and continued on August the 14th, 1967.
He wrote wonderful songs, but he also wrote that he wrote things like that. He wrote things like Where Have All the Flowers Gone?
Yeah.
One of the first real anti-war songs.
Yes.
And it was a good one. But he also wrote things like Little Boxes, which actually was a good song.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
I know that song. I'm all excited. I know that song.
Little Boxes. But it
all made of ticky-tacky.
Ticky-tacky.
And what he was saying was...
The same... He was actually saying that middle class was crass, but in the reality, he was living that life.
He was middle class.
There were far better John Jacob Niles, for goodness sake. How wonderful was John Jacob Niles, and he's forgotten about Woody Guthrie. Woody Guthrie.
We shall overcome. Any Radio Caroline listeners that are listening to this program, all hate mail goes to Lee G. Banks in the UK. That's all you have to do in England now, because he's so hated by the planet. The postman knows if it says Lee G. Banks, England, it gets to him.
They've got a warehouse now.
Yeah, full of him. Anyway, we move on. Sorry to see poor old Pete Seeger go, but age 92, not a bad innings, it has to be said.
Now in one of his little boxes.
He probably is. Michael Schumacher update. The doctors have started to reduce the amount of drugs that he's taking for the induced coma to try and get him out of there. And apparently they were able to do blink during brain tests with Michael, which means that he's kind of coming out the coma a bit and is reacting to things. What that means right now, nobody knows. So don't get excited about it, because nobody knows what the real extent of damage is until he's completely out there. He will, I'm absolutely sure, struggle for a bit. Whatever. At the best result, he's going to be hospitalised for a very long time anyway. But the good news is he is responding to instructions, which means that his brain is functioning, and that is a very good thing. How much of it? We don't know yet. But we wish him and his family all the best, and let's just hope it all turns out nicely, because we know Michael's a fighter.
And his family are there at his bedside, and they are, as the hospital put it, there to watch for signs of improvement.
Yeah.
And as Eric's just said, there are signs of improvement, which is a good thing.
And I have to say to the European journalist, hats off, I compliment you. Very much respect you for the way that you're handling the story, because they are going through the manager. They're not hassling or trying to get the tabloid photographers in. There is no paparazzi people there taking naughty pictures, and they are respecting what the family wanted. So my respect to the entire media circus that's outside at the moment.
That's very nice of you.
I mean it.
I agree with you. I agree with you. But, you know, as an insider on this kind of thing, this isn't the kind of thing that you would invade somebody's privacy over.
It has
been done. But these are the people who do invade bedsides, things like that, are usually not
proper working journalists. Mm.
Well, anyway, the media gets hammered so much, I thought it'd be only fair to do it the right way around.
Hats off, fellas, hats off.
Yeah, absolutely. And now we come to the miracle girl of the week.
Amazing.
Oh, yay. What? Golly.
What?
Well, yeah, it's just an amazing story about a 16-year-old girl from America who fell. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. She fell more than 3,000 feet.
915 metres, people.
I was just going to do that. I just happened to do it the sensible way. Give the real distances first and weights and measures. And then give the stupid Roman one second.
Yes, mind she fell. Your minutes.
915 metres she fell, which is 3,000 feet, which sounds better. Which sounds even better. Oh. And a skydiving accident. And she survived. It's absolutely amazing.
But I've seen this before, because the theory is that if you fall in the right way, it's not always fatal if you can kind of roll and take the bruising and the punching and the broken bones.
If you're really, really drunk, you can survive. You're very relaxed.
Yeah, it's all about being relaxed.
I don't think this girl was drunk.
I think there's a difference between, like, falling down the stairs and falling 3,000 feet through the air.
Well, true.
But you might have fallen out of a plane while drunk. You could have tripped. Who knows? But, I mean, you know.
I bet you anything, though.
Is she unconscious before she hit the ground? Because if she was unconscious while she fell, passed out or something, that may be what saved her.
Could have been.
She's badly hurt. She's hurt.
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure she didn't feel very well at all.
Yeah.
She's broken a pelvis, a lower spine, a shoulder blade, her ribs. And also, one thing I think is really nice, she's really upset about, because she's also broken a tooth.
Oh, dear. But I bet your bottom dollar she's the kind of girl that will go back up in the plane as soon as she's able to do so.
I'm sure she is. And I've not mentioned her name, have we? I think we need to give her a name call. And that's Mackenzie Wethington.
Good on you, Mackenzie.
And the doctors are saying how wonderful she is, and it's just an amazing thing that she survived. I can't believe it, really.
Good on her.
Yeah. Now we move over to something totally disgusting.
This is terrible.
This is disgusting beyond belief, and it's really? a wheelchair-bound Royal Navy veteran.
Mm-hmm.
Age 45, Mark Hancock was outside his home in Weston-super-Mare. I nearly called it Weston-super-Mud. Sorry, Michael. Mark, rather. And he was left soaked in blood after being slashed across the face by a knife. Yeah. And they're not human beings. They're just despicable animals. Decided to go and pick on Mark and just left him there, soaked in blood.
Go on.
I just hope they just lock him up and throw the keys away.
Well, I say, you know, this bloke lost his, had a double leg amputation in 2007 after being injured as a soldier. Mm. And, you know, we have a great affinity on this programme with injured soldiers, like people know. What is really appalling about this is not the fact that everybody's gone on the fact that he'd just received an award from Buckingham Palace and that kind of thing a few hours before.
Doesn't matter.
No, it's a simple fact that somebody, some group of people, stood outside his house knowing that he was in a wheelchair, that he had no legs and was unable to defend himself, and mugged him. That's what they did. They mugged him. It's unbelievable. Like Eric says, they should just be... Well, you can't hand draw and quarter people nowadays, can you?
Do you know what they could do with them? No, do you know what they could do with them? They could do
Australia.
No. They could do cosmetic tests on them rather than use animals.
That's terrible.
I think that's right.
I think actually that makes a lot of sense.
It does indeed. Somebody who's been struggling down in Australia is the former Olympian Ian Thorpe. Rachel's got more on that story.
It's horrible, actually. He released his autobiography a couple of years ago, saying that he was struggling with
alcohol
and
depression. I think we need to be very careful about this story, you know. Yeah.
I know. I'll be super careful about it. But
if I could just interrupt, there has been a major development on this, and every newspaper in Britain has taken this story down off the websites. Mm. It looks like it's not actually true.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm reading too.
She's going there. Right.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's what I'm reading too. He released an autobiography. He's made no secret about his he released it last year about his struggles with alcohol and depression. Mm-hmm. And after he retired from swimming, and then he went back to the pool and went to London and didn't fare well there at all. Mm-hmm. And it was all a bit of a disaster. And he's had an accident at home, and it was widely reported during the day that he has gone to hospital to rehab.
Yeah, that's
to deal
right.
with this issue. And in actual fact, that is not the case. Mm. He went there to have a procedure done on his shoulder because he had a fall and he damaged his shoulder, and he is now on the mend and he is not in rehab. So we need to clear that up because it's everywhere. And even I saw it this morning and posted it and went, gee, that's, good luck, Anthony. But it's not the case. And we have people are pulling it down the front centre. But the brand new story as of only 2 hours ago is that he is not there, not in rehab. There is no abuse of alcohol or, any other substance. And he is just merely recuperating from an injury that he sustained whilst he was in his own home.
It does make you wonder, though, that because with his autobiography coming out, that whether this story was actually orchestrated in some fashion. Now, I'm not saying that Mr. Thorpe was involved or any of his representatives were.
Well, I don't know why, because it was a long time ago. It was a while ago now that autobiography was released.
Years.
So the two don't
coalesce. It still sells.
No. Lee's going to love this one, Rach.
What?
Do you know what I think it is?
Go on, man.
It's the idiot not checking the idiot, writing the idiot, copying the idiot on the interweb.
That's a very good point, because something that Eric and I are aware of that I've been doing, it says exactly that in newspapers, and this is why the newspapers... I took it down immediately this morning, and I wasn't being rude, Rachel, because the Sydney Morning Herald actually hadn't taken it down when I saw it.
No, they hadn't.
Yeah, so it looks as if it wasn't being taken down in Australia. But the simple facts are that in a newspaper, much maligned newspapers, and we haven't actually got the story about Huge Rant on at the moment, which I think is a brilliant story, but we have the writer... who checks the facts. We have a sub-editor who checks the facts. We have an editor who checks the facts. And ultimately, we have lawyers who check the facts. And that is the one thing that doesn't happen on the internet and causes so much trouble.
You're doing 100% again, and that's not right. Not every internet site is like that. Many internet sites.
The Daily Mail internet site and the Sun site.
No, and RTI.fm.
When
we put news on there, there's a good valid reason. And I'll tell you what, something we haven't got ready to share yet, but I'm going to, shortly after the break, don't go away, because if you're in the UK, this story links beautifully with it, and you should be careful.
Even I don't know what that is.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.